Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Listener discretion is advised for explicit content.
This is why I do this. It's activism.
Hashtag not a silent bystander.
So everyone is kind of getting their own voice, which was really important, I think, to us.
We were called fringe women.
I was a sex worker.
Along with the hookers, the strippers were.
These are the people that are existing on the very outskirts of society.
I don't like hypocrisy. I don't like to be intimidated.
That's anger.
When someone tries to scare me, I get up and I fight back.
Anger and frustration.
It's so important that we preserve our history.
Up against the wall.
I always looked at this as speaking out.
Cotta Pierce Morgan has always spoken out. In the 70s, she raised her voice to complain about the police abuse she suffered as a dancer at Les Girls Theater. In the 80s, she advocated for dancers' rights in the media and overturned a city ordinance. By the 90s, she had firmly established Les Girls as a safe space for dancers and completely run by women. And in the 2000s, she found a new and creative platform from which to speak.
This is the part where we first opened the show.
In 2012, she decided to use the Les Girls stage to present legitimate theater. Her first show, The Story of Memory, was fueled by her passion for social justice, but also by her need to heal and to process grief. For decades, she'd been haunted by the suicides of two women who were close to her in the 1980s. One was an 18-year-old Les Girls dancer named Angela Faulkner.
She was a young woman, and I heard that she was being abused by the sergeant. And so I took her to internal affairs. I got the charges sustained. Some years later, she was in the backwoods of Tennessee, and she committed suicide. And that impacted me. And what was so interesting, and we explore in this show, is that she was part of a spectrum. You know, she was this orphan dancer.
The other was Leslie Lord, the first female leader of the San Diego Police Department's Vice Squad. Ultimately, Cotta combined their stories into one play.
And so we did The Mystery of Elle, which explored, you know, two women from different ends of the world, and they both committed suicide for very personal reasons. And so our show is about the stages of grief. He does not yet see Ghost Angela walking on the mystical waves, pushing aside a magical curtain, belonging to the afterlife world. She is dead, yet forgetting the night she danced, then took her life. In denial, she is returning to the stage with its breath and quickening heartbeats and applause to don her feathers and hope to join the other ghosts that haunt, that live in the cycle of grief.
I need to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more of Stripper Energy, Fighting Back from the Fringes. And just a reminder, this is also available as a video podcast. Go to kpbs.org/stripperenergy for more information.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons. And I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
But Cotta had more than grief to process. Decades of police abuse and harassment, aggravated by the stigmatization of working in the adult entertainment industry, had taken a toll on her mental health. She was eager to move on and leave the trauma behind.
And I had blocked a lot of it out of my mind. I had wiped that out. I totally didn't want to think about it anymore.
But she knew she had to confront what she tried to block out. And art provided precisely the therapy she needed to thrive. In 2013, she became part of the San Diego International Fringe Festival. The annual event takes its cue from the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, which began as a creative act of rebellion against the artistic establishment. San Diego decided to follow the example of that spontaneous artistic movement and launched one of its own. For San Diego Fringe, Cotta decided to tackle something else that was haunting her, the trauma of forced sex with a vice officer in the 1970s.
Totally forgot about the nightmares, but that was based on what was happening to me in the car, in his undercover car in Presidio Park. I met him there all the time. Went on for about a year, as I've written, so it was giving me nightmares.
In Heaven or Hell 3, San Diego, she revisited that trauma through art.
They were predators with badges, snatchers of the rights of the denizens of the night, good eaters by day, under the coma of the shadowed town. They lay as bottom feeders, sucking their forbidden algae in Presidio Park or Bayho or back alleys, hemmed into Point Loma and Mission Valley. They were upcoming judges, political grudges and sergeants in vice, acting both mean and nice. They were like lab testers of mice who went crazy when they delivered to their mazes bits of American cheese to please or to electrify with shocks shackled to the docks holding water or rice. These men, entitled to rape the slight, the downside dwellers of curbs and subcultural women of the night.
For that show, she enlisted the help of dancer, activist, and sex worker Kate McGrew, better known as Lady Grew.
I'll talk slow so you listen, I'll move slow so you watch. The moral of this story, you can't trust the cops. I'll talk slow so you listen, I'll move slow so you watch. When bad news comes, find a solution that don't involve the cops. Bad news.
Lady Grew contributed to the artistic evolution of Cotta's story by adding her own commentary and turning it into a rap she wrote for the show.
Presidio Park, I heard bad news. Whoa. I'll tell you how it really was. A couple finger fuzz. 50 years ago, San Diego. You're not arrested, just checks, but best if you comply. The lack of logic is bending your mind. Raids grind you, you're sick of minding your own tune. When senselessly thrown against a wall by a cop who is grown but small, still can't force you by will, he will by his hand, and that's not all.
The show was performed at Les Girls, but never made it to Fringe because the pandemic would sideline the festival for 2 years. But Cotta was committed to her newfound therapy and how it inspired her.
What have we offered to Fringe? I think what it is we take the risk. And we are on the fringe. In fact, when I get awards sometimes, they give me the Fringe of the Fringe Award. I mean, we were really out there.
Out there, on the fringes of the fringe, is where I first met Cotta and became intrigued by her story. What Cotta loves about Fringe is that she can take advantage of BYOV, or bring your own venue. That allows her to put Les Girls Theater at the center of her art, sharing its history and celebrating the positives that emerged from all the trauma.
And what was present at that time was the high heel footprint, the stripper energy, all that past. You could hear them clunk, 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 walking across the stage. And now Golden Corpse presents a bigger footprint.
Golden Corpse is the name Cotta gave to her theater company.
I labeled us hashtag not a silent bystander. I always looked at us as speaking out. And we present social injustice shows about what happened around Les Girls in San Diego, and its seedy streets and its amazing stages and all the performers that are haunting the walls now, because we go back 50 years.
For her 2024 Fringe show, No Regrets, Cotta drew on everything from vaudeville to Italian giallo to science fiction in order to view a seminal event in Les Girls' history. the night in 1968 that Cotta's late husband James Morgan suffered a humiliating raid at the hands of San Diego Vice. It was the night that forever changed the city's adult entertainment landscape and led to the opening of Les Girls Theater.
So how do we get to 1968? I can't just see us starting that way. It could be so pedestrian. So we're going to make a spaceship. And then we also have an alien. She comes spouting out, and in the course of this act one, she finds the time capsule. You know, and the time capsule for me is symbolic for what we're doing. I mean, we're telling a story that goes over five decades.
Hands behind your head. Up against the wall.
And our show, No Regrets, covers one night, 24 hours within that 50-year period. And what takes place is that in 1968, the corrupt segment of the San Diego PD, they raided the Left Bank. And so our No Regrets show covers that raid. And it covers the jailing of the strippers and what happened to them in the jail. And so there's a lot of trauma that takes place. And so doing this show, thank God I'm doing it from a theatrical aspect, from an art show aspect, because I was able to channel it into kind of an energy that I could express, you know, how it felt.
Something else that's been key to Cotta's therapeutic art is the shared passion she and Jim had for meticulous record keeping. For half a century, she stored boxes and boxes of photos, documents, recordings, and videos from their battles in the 70s and 80s. Her shows wouldn't be the same without her archives.
To have to go back and read all these things, and it started opening up this world again for me. I can't say I was sleeping very well, but I also thought this is a healing process, to be able to go back, you know, something that I had been running from for a very long time, and to actually address it as a 76-year-old woman, and to look at it as, you know, someone, they say, your inner child or your past, that kind of thing, and you hug them. It's a validation that's taking place. And even getting to tell this story is a validation of a really horrendous time.
Cotta's shows are deeply personal and fueled by activism. So it was frustrating to her when she first started doing plays at Les Girls Theater and discovered that even in the 21st century, strip clubs and strippers were still stigmatized.
I have friends that would not come to see my shows, even though I'm telling them. These shows that I do now are about social injustice, but they would not come inside Les Girls. You know, they wouldn't. They had a judgment, you know, about where I worked, what I did, and probably, you know, about my past. And when I took my show from Les Girls to Liberty Station, they all showed up. You know, I mean, that's the writing on the wall. They came to see my company, same show, perform at Liberty Station. They wouldn't step inside Les Girls.
But Cotta's shows are at Les Girls to stay. And now they play to standing room only crowds.
Last Fringe, we were packed. I mean, we were within our fire limit of how many people you can have here, but just under it. And we started getting recognized in Fringe. We started getting awards, and we also started getting some really legitimate coverage.
Her Fringe success has helped dispel some of the stigma of running an adult entertainment business.
Call girl. Prostitute! Hooker!
But she remains fully aware of how that stigma once forced her to distance herself from sex workers because the city fathers used the specter of prostitution to threaten dancers' livelihoods. But now, 50 years later, Cotta eagerly stands in solidarity with Lady Gru and other sex workers.
I said, I need to find less degrading work. I think I will try prostitution.
I'm always singing and rapping and clowning about sex work and female body autonomy and body autonomy in general.
Because she wants to entertain her audience as well as make them think.
I'm very aware of that. I'm very aware that these are topics that people mightn't be used to thinking about or talking about or only have thought about in a certain way. And so there's a risk that there will be a wall up immediately when you're talking about these things. So I find that if you do it in a sort of storytelling way or with a bit of humor, people can relax a little bit and be open, more open to what you're saying.
So in Hooker PI, she used rap, zombies, and pole dancing to challenge one-dimensional stereotypes about sex workers.
And it's the story of a sex worker whose client dies while they're having sex during their session. And so she has to devise a plan to hide both of them from a pack of zombie radical feminists who roam the streets and eating hookers for strength. I like it because it takes the trope of the abused or the dead hooker and flips it on its head.
I need to take one last break, and then I'll be back with more of Stripper Energy fighting back from the fringes.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons, and I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
In 2019, Lady Gru staged a play in honor of Jim and his activist legacy.
You know, as activists for sex worker rights and for body autonomy and free expression, I exist in a long lineage of activists doing this work. And Jim fought and battled creatively and bravely to open Lay Girls as a first nude club. And Kata continues to do this fight against police corruption and for the fight for sex worker rights and for freedom of expression and body autonomy.
And Kate is courageous in that she takes on the fight for the sex workers.
Joining Lady Gru as a sex worker turned activist and artist is Rachel Atlas. Both women work in countries where sex work has been decriminalized. Lady Gru in Ireland and Rachel in New Zealand.
I mean, the fact that you used to be able to get arrested definitely added an extra spicy layer to the overall experience.
But you have to realize that things are different here and now. There's a community!
A community and laws on their side, but still a potent sense of stigma. That's why Rachel created Tales from the Stripped for New Zealand Fringe in 2023.
Oh, don't get too excited, darling. I'm not dead, and this is not the afterlife. This is the dark place.
It's about sex workers, because sex work is decriminalized here in New Zealand. All the performers are kind of active sex workers. A lot of them have never acted in a show before. I guess we wanted to kind of normalize sex work by letting people kind of understand a bit about what goes on in people's heads. You know, rather than usually in the media, like a lot of works about sex work are generally about, you know, the clients or, you know, kind of like, do you have any gross stories or stuff like that? Whereas we wanted to make it more about, like, to make people understand how it is to do something that to you is so everyday, but yet to so many people in so much of the world, you know, you are essentially a monster. So kind of having to balance that, you know, that kind of dichotomy is very, very difficult.
Kit Marsh is the co-creator of Tales from the Stripped, in which former sex workers are trapped in an otherworldly realm. And in order to pass through, they must make some honest evaluations about their lives and their work.
Okay, so this is like a prostitute's purgatory.
From the very beginning, we wanted it to be very genuine and very heartfelt and kind of something no one has ever seen before, because a lot of the time sex workers aren't represented as real people.
Hold on a sec, we're all hookers, aren't we?
Bingo!
Rachel cast Sherita Fraser as an angel who guides the sex workers out of the darkness.
And I think just because I kind of do that for my job anyway, for the Sex Workers Collective, so that's part of what I do, is a lot of advocacy for sex workers, and I'm often helping people out of dark places.
But what you said about telling your children, it's not as hard as you think. When we say it and we own it, we eliminate the shame. My kids know about sex work. They know sex workers are just ordinary people. Kids don't judge.
I just think the more we can talk about our stories and break down the stereotypical binaries, I suppose, about sex work, you know, like quite often people see sex work as some glamorous pretty woman or some very difficult mental health challenges or whatever, and most sex workers are just ordinary people going about ordinary lives.
While Tales from the Strip challenges stigmatizing stereotypes and tries to humanize sex workers, Kate's work is very rooted in a present-day struggle to decriminalize sex work.
It's really kind of the baseline infrastructure that sex workers across the globe ask for in order for us to have what we need to be able to work as safely and as happily and with as much dignity as possible.
And so when we get to do the shows about social injustice, we're approaching people from a different communication. It's not only what happened to us, but we're also embroidering it with music, lighting, costuming. It's a way of reaching people's hearts, because I think what we're doing is very authentic, and it's also giving a chance to the audiences to see us as people.
Which is precisely what Rachel wants to do through her art as well.
We interviewed everyone in the show. We interviewed them and asked them all these questions about sex work and how they felt about it and experiences and things. And I took many different of those stories and made them into a very rudimentary script. And then I gave the script to the actors and said, rewrite your words into your words, you know?
You told me I have a choice about telling my parents. I still don't know if I'm going to tell them, and to be honest, I don't care if they find out. But just knowing that it's my choice, that I'm not indebted to anyone, that I can surround myself with people who love me for me.
Art has the power to heal, inspire, empower, and enlighten, even when performed on the stage of a strip club. And that's something that keeps Kata stripper energy fired up.
The nature of the business, I've always struggled with it. But I can say, because of all the politics and the abuse that I experienced and went through, I will never stop this show. If we fade off into the sunset, I will be fine with that. You know, I have other interests, but I will not close this place, ever. And I will not sell it to any kind of greedy land developers that will tear this place down and all its ghosts and history. It's not happening.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.